system right now, because it's a headship of a man. It's not the headship of the Holy Spirit. We don't want people to be led by men. We want them to be led by the Spirit of God. That's why I like the prayer of Jabez. The Bible says, and Jabez prayed. And he said, Lord, bless me. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, and God heard him. He did not go to anyone or try to, he just prayed and God heard him. And you have many examples like that in the Bible, where you can pray and God can hear you. And you say, Brother Aaron, I've got a testimony. You know, I was being bothered by this. I prayed, God heard me. I love those testimonies. Because if you, you know, because we ministers, myself included, we have become so puffed up. Oh, I prayed for this person, this happened. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. You know, up until, you know, some people are binding people to themselves. You know, I've got this special gift. Oh, if I can lay my hands. You don't need my hands. You only need to pray to God. You only need to have a direct revelation and a direct walk with the Spirit communing with you to lead you daily. Yes, there is a place for a minister. There is a place for everything, right? Yeah. But you yourself must have your own relationship with God. You can also wrestle with God and let God hear your prayers. No one can do your religion for you because you are married to Jesus Christ. And no one can ever replace you. God gave you your lips so that you can pray to him. But people want a Catholic thing where they have something that they can put their hands on. This is why people are so big with rosaries and just something that they can hold, a bridge. People want something physical, you know, like bullets and guns. And, you know, I have Brother Branham's gun. That's fine, but you know what? That's not going to help you. Oh, I have the nails of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never gave us nails. He gave us the Holy Ghost. Amen. So you can go to hell holding those nails. But if you receive the Holy Spirit, then you are on your way to heaven. Amen. You can have the rocks from Palestine, from Jerusalem. It's not going to save you. If you go to Israel right now, there isn't hardly a place you can go. Because everywhere, where there was Jacob's well, they want to build a church there. There's an Orthodox church. Where this happened, people build a church there because people are looking for something physical. But we are not built upon physical things. We are built upon the doctrine of the apostles and the prophets. We are built upon the rock of revelation, which is why the reason why the Jews, they buried their loved ones in caves. Now, in a cave, you know, you can't, you know, we in the West, we bury our people in the ground. Yeah. But these patriarchs, they did not bury them in the ground. They built tombs. And the tombs are made from what? From rocks. So they were, and what is a rock? A rock is a revelation. So we are built upon a revelation. When you die in Christ, you are dying by revelation. So you are buried in a tomb of revelation, not in a tomb of a church or of a denomination, but in a tomb of a revelation. And the book of Ruth, where we read, Boaz could redeem Ruth, but there was no woman that could redeem another person, because a woman is a church. A woman cannot save you. Only Christ can save you. The church is a place to worship, but you have to have a walk with Jesus Christ. And Paul, he says here, yeah, the prophet said in the church ages, though it may seem, you know, we must not discredit the word of the Lord who said that, you know, let me start where he said. Paul does not evade this truth, for he most clearly says in Philippians 3:11, if by means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, this statement is most peculiar. We all know that we are all going to be resurrected whether we want to be or not. All of us are going to be resurrected, right? If by any means I might attain a resurrection of the dead, the truth of the matter is he is not saying that the literal reading of it. If by means I might attain unto the resurrection from among the dead. This is not attaining to the general or second resurrection, but attaining to the first resurrection. For the Bible says, blessed and holy is he that is part in the first resurrection. So the bride rises in the first resurrection. The wise virgins rise in the first resurrection. Yeah. The prophet says the foolish virgins, they come up in the what? Second resurrection. So blessed is the one who makes it to the first resurrection. Now, how do you make it to the first resurrection? You have to be a wise virgin. How do you become a wise virgin? You have to have oil in your lamp. You have to have the Holy Spirit in your lamps. Amen. So you have to be buried in Machpelah. You have to attain to the first resurrection. How do you do it? You receive the Spirit of Christ right now. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him in the baptism into death, that like Christ was raised from the dead, that, you know, the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So baptism is symbolizing what? We are dying with him and we are rising with him. And sometimes our actions, they tell us whether we are dead or whether we are living. Now, dying is not dying in the literal sense. It's dying to the things of this world. Because remember, according to the laws of God, you cannot be remarried as long as your husband is living. But if your husband is dead, then you can be married by another. So Christ cannot marry you as long as you are married to the world. The worldly husband has to die before you could be married to Christ. That's in the spoken word, the invisible union. And here he says, just to show you, I think about the 8th or 10th of these here, he says, the more perfect church is going to... People were asking the prophet, right? If you read this book, about 8 or 10 times, they were saying, shall we move to Arizona? When the prophet moved to Arizona. And it was a big deal because they kept asking. And the prophet says, don't move to Arizona. Don't move to Tucson. And he says, because you know what? The resurrection is not going to be in Tucson. It's not going to be in Jeffersonville. It's going to be in Christ. So it's not a physical place. Because we, the Gentiles, Jesus Christ says, we shall neither worship God in Jerusalem or on the mountain, but we shall worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. Yeah. Until people have become so messed up, until you have someone who has got four people in a home church, they preach for 20 years, they say, no, my church is the only true one, everyone else is lost. No, sir, the resurrection is not in your house. The resurrection is in Christ Jesus. You know, there are some people that become so perverse, you know, lifted up, or everyone else is lost, I'm the only one who has got it. No, sir, Jesus Christ has got it. So, even when people come, you know, we are not a cult, right? You know, I had a friend who said, Aaron, I'm going to leave the message. I'm going to going somewhere. I said, you know what? If you can save God better, go there, my friend. You have my blessing. We are here by revelation. It's not a Sharia law to say, if you don't agree with us, we're gonna blow up everyone. No, sir. We are not a cult. It's a revelation. We don't have a headquarters. Or we don't have to agree. It's a revelation. It's a personal revelation. If somebody says, you know what, I found something better, he said, God bless your heart, my brother. For me, I'm going to stay here, but I wish you the best. Because it's not a force. You cannot force people to say, oh, see, you must see things this way. Or, you know, start threatening people. That's not the spirit of Christ. When people were actually following Jesus, he actually discouraged them and they left. And he says, if you don't eat my flesh and you don't drink my blood, you have no part in me. And people left. He never explained it because he was not trying to force people to follow him. He wanted the elect to follow him. And he says, my sheep hear my voice. And a stranger, they will not follow. Because if you force someone, he's going to give you problems. Because he's going to be complaining one thing after the other. Oh, what about this? But if it's revealed to them, then it's not a burden. Because they see it in the word. But we have tried to make, you know, try to put sheep feathers on hyenas, and they've given us problems. Don't force people. Let them see. Even your own children, don't force them. You know, of course, you know, as a parent, you have to put guardrails, you know, curfew and all the common sense things. But in terms of salvation, don't force them. Get baptized. No. Pray for them. At the right time, God will reveal it to them. And just like a light bulb, you just say, this is good. Oh, that sermon that Brother Aaron preached, that changed me. You say, honey, Brother Aaron was preaching the same thing for 10 years. It wasn't the time, right? Amen. Now, let me hurry now. Deuteronomy. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which your God shall give you to inherit, when he giveth you, and rest from all your enemies round about to dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall you bring all that I command you. So God is saying in Deuteronomy, when you go to the promised land, when you come to worship and bring your sacrifices, I don't want you to bring them everywhere else. I want you to bring them into a place where I will show you. And the Bible says here that the place which shall cause his name to dwell. And the prophet preaches a message called God's Provided Place of Worship. And he says the place is not a she, it's a he. Which means the place is in Jesus Christ. It's not in a physical church. There is no church that can claim we are the chosen and frozen. It's in Jesus Christ. How many knows that? Because remember, when God created Adam and Eve, do you know that Eve did not have a name when they were created? Eve and Adam were called the same name, right? Mrs. Adam or just Adam, right? But when Eve fell, she received a name. She was called Eve, the mother of what? Of many, right? But that was not the name that God gave her. She got that name because she fell. And the prophet says the church, when they fell at Nicaea, then they started to have all these blasphemous names. I'm Presbyterian. You don't find those things in the New Testament. It was the church in Ephesus, the church in Smyrna. That was it, because it was not about. But then people started to build empires. Up until you find someone saying, I'm the founder of this church. I'm going to ask you, how can you found a church if you are born in that church? Like, I'm in Nengomaza. How can I say I'm the founder of the Nengomaza family? My grandfather would roll in his grave. How can you found something you are born in? So you cannot found Christianity. Because as long as the moment you receive the Holy Ghost, you are born into that family. So when you are born, it means that you are a child and you do not give birth to yourself. So you cannot say, I found something, because you are born into that something. In other words, you cannot see. So Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, and he is the headstone, and all of us are children. So no one can say, the moment a church has a founder, then it becomes denominational. We are founded on the word, and our Father is Jesus Christ. People say, oh, brother, I don't know, who is your founder? Our founder is Jesus Christ. Because how can you found a church? You cannot found a church because you are born in a church. That's why the Bible says, no man hath seen the Father, only the Son hath declared him. Because in a sense, right, in a sense, you cannot see your father as a bachelor. Right? Because the moment you are born, he's now a father. He's no longer a bachelor, right? I hope I'm using good English. So you cannot see your father as a bachelor. Is that the right word we use? The moment you are born, then he changes and he becomes a father. So no man has seen the father. Like, no man has seen God in that state as Elohim. Because we were not yet born. The moment we were born, then he becomes Jehovah, the one who dwells with his family. So only the Son has declared him. So the only way you can see God is when you see him through the Son. Because the moment you see him, he has to change his form. Because in his original state, he's a self-existing one. Who fills space, time, and eternity? And there was no one there to see him. Because the moment you see him, then you had to come from somewhere. Then you had to be created. The moment he creates you, then he has changed his form. This is where science fails. This is why, you know, someone said, a fool has said there is no God. How can you say, you know, there is no God? It's insane, right? Now, Luke, those prophets knew the first fruits of the resurrection would come out of Palestine, not out of Egypt, Palestine. The resurrection wasn't coming out of Egypt. It was coming out of Palestine. That's the reason they wanted to be buried in Palestine. That's the reason that I said, bury me in Jesus. For those that are in Jesus, will God bring with him at the second coming. So this is the scripture in Thessalonians. Those that are in Jesus shall he bring with him. And the Bible says, blessed are they who die in the Lord. And I know that we read it, you know, as a funeral scripture, but truly, blessed are also those that die in the Lord spiritually, because they shall come with what? With him when he shall come. This morning, are you buried in the cave of Machpelah? Are you buried in your own tradition? Or are you buried in the figment of your interpretation of the word? You must be buried in Christ. Some, you know, everyone wants to worship God in their own way. But that doesn't work. You have to come to God through his own way. If you go to God with an answer, he will give you the answer that you want. But you know what? Unbelief does not hinder God. It destroys the unbeliever. Most of the problems we have today is because people just simply disobeyed God. Right? Like, for example, God would say, you know, don't mix, or don't do this, or just simple things. You know, I've been trying to, you know, live healthy, and I've noticed that to be healthy is not really difficult. It's just following simple instructions. Like, don't eat a lot of red meat. Don't eat. It's just simple instructions. It sounds very simple, but truly, that's what's going to help you. You can go and watch, you know, 10 hours of videos, but it just comes back to simple things. What are you eating? Eat healthy and exercise. Simple. But, you know, because we are not used to simple instructions, we try to go around and say, no, I found this, I found that. But if you summarize it, oh, it comes back to one thing. You are what you eat. And what makes you a Christian is what you are feeding on. And this morning, we have to feed on the word of God. And today, food has become poisonous because of two things. Do you want to hear them? Number one is preservatives. And, you know, additives, things that they add. So that's the same word. That's the same way. The word, if you want to add preservatives to the word, it will contaminate the word. If you say, no, let's preserve the message, no one should preach, we could only play tapes, you are messing up things. Don't try to preserve the word. The word preserves you. Like the Catholic, they wanted to preserve the word. No one should read Bibles. We will put everything in Latin because we want to preserve it. It becomes poisonous. And the other thing that is causing people to die is to hybrid two things. Don't preserve it, don't hybrid it. What is to hybrid? It's to mix it. If I mix it with my own African tradition, I have made it with none effect. Don't mix, that's why Jesus Christ said, with your traditions, you have made the word of none effect. And all of us have traditions and cultures. I have my own African culture. You have an American culture. But culture is not the word. The word is the word. If my culture contradicts the word, I throw it out and I stay with the word. If it does not contradict the word, that's fine. We are different. God made us different. God wanted Africans and Asians. We can't all be the same. But to the extent that it is consistent with the Bible. But if it contradicts the Bible, then you throw it away. Because when you mix the word with something, with creeds and dogmas and cultures, it becomes poisonous. And by mixing food with the sugar, and because we want it to taste better, right? Now look at where we are in terms of our health. Tastes good, but it's killing us. And that's the same way with the word. People wanted to make it sweet, motivational, where people can enjoy church. Let's bring motivational speakers. Let's have gyms. Let's have all these things. Let's have entertainment. People are being entertained to death. That's why at Baal Peor, when Balaam, you know, when Balaam could not curse Israel, they had mistakes, but Balaam could not curse them. You know what he did? He brought entertainment. and entertainment destroyed them. Because when you are entertained, you lose your guard. When you are entertained with a movie, you don't really pay attention whether they are cursing or blaspheming, because you're getting entertained. So when they were entertained at Baal Peor, they took more bites and they died. That's the day that most of them died. They died in entertainment. And I was listening, the prophet is saying, the spirit of this country is floric and entertainment. Because you know what? We are building this flesh. But Abraham did not have things of this flesh. He paid a price for the cave of Machpelah. You might have Netflix and Hulu and all those things. That's fine. But you know what? Make sure you have that cave of the Holy Spirit. Entertainment is good, but be sure that it's not killing you. If it's outside the word, throw it away. It may feel good, but it's going to kill you. Food is good if it is given in the right way that God wanted to be given. But the moment there is human engineering, it becomes poisonous. The word does not need human engineering. We have to preach the word the way it was given. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that's why God gave them manna. Manna was so simple, but that was what they needed for the journey. It might not have been so tasty. It might have not been like cornbread with honey or maple syrup, but it was good for them. And they complained. They wanted meat. They wanted something that tastes good. And our taste becomes death when we want more. And Eve wanted something more, and that's how she died. She should have just stayed with that word. And this morning, we want to have our taste to be in the word, to enjoy the word, you know, to enjoy maybe one teaspoon of sugar instead of eight. This is not a healthy lecture, but I'm just giving examples that you can remember. I don't want you to go out and say, oh, Brother Aaron, oh, he's now with that Seventh-day doctrine. Oh, he's just... No, sir, I don't believe in that. Eat whatever you want as God leads you, but I'm just giving you examples that, you know, if the musicians can come. So entertainment killed them at Baal Peor. And today, entertainment is killing our nation. Because no one can ever come to you and say, it's okay for a man to be with another man. You will never accept that. But you know what they will do? They will give you entertainment. And in that entertainment, there will be a man marrying another man, and you'll be fine with it because it's wrapped in the sugar of entertainment. And that's why people are dying. Don't bury me anywhere else in Egypt. Bury me in Jesus Christ. I want to see him. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. Jesus, Jesus, how I
grew in more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer?
you are there, you want God to bury you in the cave that is called Jesus Christ, if you want to walk with Him and walk in the simplicity of Christ and His Word, if you want God to help you, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit and you want God to fill you with your Spirit, if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity. Every time we have service, it's always an opportunity. Even at home, there's always, every minute you have is always an opportunity for you to give your life to Him. If you are there, you can show by raising your hand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this afternoon, Lord. We read about the patriarchs in the book of Hebrew, how they did not have anything in this world. They were not known. They were not superstars. They did not have expensive things. But there was one thing they were looking for. They were looking for a city whose maker and builder is God. They wanted to rise together with Him. They followed that voice and they obeyed Him. No doubt they were men of many mistakes like all of us. But they had faith in the Lamb of God. They knew that one day there's going to come in just one and we shall be out of this place. Lord, we are in Laodicea. It's a land that has become polluted with sodomy, with violence, with corruption, with all kinds of things. Lord, we don't want to place our hope in a denomination. We don't want to place our hope in a group or a church. We want to place our hope in you, Jesus Christ. Father, we don't want this place to be just a ritual where people come and gather. Father, as the word is being ministered, we want your people, Father, to be saved. We want your young people, Lord, to be filled with your Spirit. We want those that are struggling to find strength. We want those that are sick to be healed, Lord. We are asking, Father, as we raise our hands to you this afternoon, Lord, that you may touch each and everyone that is raising their hands to you. They are confessing that they are pilgrims and strangers in this world. And they don't belong in this world. Lord, we are not here to build a cult or to make something different from the rest of the world. We just want to be with you, Lord. We want to follow you and become as Christians. We don't want to become a society, Lord, where people can just say, these are those people. We want to be obedient to you. And to be people that are full of your Spirit and full of grace and full of love. Father, we want to be people that are full of joy, who enjoy their religion, who enjoy walking with you, Lord. Help us, Father, the pressures that we face in this world, we want to bring it to you, Lord. That's why we were singing the song, "It is so sweet to trust in Jesus." In this end time, Lord, we want to trust in you, to trust in you with our jobs, to trust in you with our families, to trust in you, Father, with our decisions. We want, Lord, you to lead us every day. One singer said, "He leadeth me, He leadeth me." Oh, Father, help us tonight. Lead your church and lead your bride. Help us, Father, to find joy and pleasure in the things that please you, Father. For we know that Enoch of old, he was not found because before he was taken, he had a testimony that he pleased God. Bless our pastor, Lord, as he travels back. Bless the church, Father, as we people go to the ark, Lord. May you just be with them, Father. May it be a blessing. May they see something that will stir their hearts. Lord, I pray that you may protect each and everyone that is here tonight. Those that are streaming, Lord, remember them, Lord. We want to pray, Father, for the little girl who was in the hospital with the fracture in the skull. Lord, you are the healer. May you touch her, Father, and heal her, oh God. We are just committing her into your hands right now. Father, we remember Brother Keith, who is not here with us, Lord. May you just be with him, Father. Bless him, oh God, and heal him completely. Many requests that were brought on Wednesday, we believe and we have accepted that you have already undertaken for them. We are already praising you, Lord, because we know that you are a God that does not back down from your promises. You are mighty to save and you are mighty to deliver. Even some that were not read out, Lord, you know each and every one of them. We have, Lord God, young men that are trusting and hoping in you, Lord. It's a dangerous world, Father, with games and the internet and many different traps.
Father, we are just trusting in you for their behalf. Young girls, Lord, that are here, Lord Jesus Christ, with aspirations and hopes, be their guide and lead them, Lord, to the path of everlasting righteousness. Granted this afternoon, we commit the balance of our week into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. And we'll see you on Wednesday. We have a visiting brother from South Africa, Brother Brian. He did a wonderful job at the camp. And also Brother Lucas was ministering there. And he did a good job. So now you can call him Reverend Lucas Coffey. God bless you. So make an effort to come on Wednesday. We have a visiting minister. You sure don't want to miss that. Amen. God bless you, Brother Mitch.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me beneath the healing cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. And I'm so glad I learned to trust me, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace.
put it in the key of G there, sister. Let's just sing the song, It's Jesus, I Really Want to See. Just as we dismiss this afternoon, just as Brother Aaron mentioned, remember the needs we brought before the Lord this morning, and remember the trip that's taking place to the Ark, that they'll have a blessed and safe trip. So, it's Jesus, I really want to see. Yes, it's Jesus, I really want to see. The more I see of this world, the less it means to me. As you go. Oh, now it's Jesus that I really want to see. Oh, it's Jesus that I really want to see.
Oh, Lord.
to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and and greatly to be praised.